You are now listening to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for Startups to Celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Stay up to date at nextonscene.com or follow us on social media at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene. Welcome back to Next on Scene, everybody. It's your host, Jackie Zuck. It is officially Friday Eve, as my friend Gigi Williams likes to call it. Friggin' love that. I'm keeping that tagline forever because it makes me feel like the weekend is longer than what it actually is. So I'm going to love it. I'm going to own it. I hope you use it after this show. So really exciting weekend ahead. I am going to a Vanderpump launch party to all the people who love Lisa Vanderpump. I'm a Real Housewife, total fan. I also really love Vanderpump Rules. It's like my TV guilty pleasure, as I'm always asking everybody else's TV guilty pleasures. That is mine. And so I am really excited to that I won the giveaway to her launch party at the Real House Boston, which is a local restaurant in Boston. So they're launching her new wine there. So they're having a launch party, and I won the giveaway. So freaking awesome. So I will be sharing more about that next week when I come on about the experience. I also yesterday did a first live vodcast with the amazing, talented Kleinfeld, exclusive to Kleinfeld bridal designers, Henry and Michelle Roth. So inspiring, have so much knowledge to share. We're going to be doing more monthly shows with them, if not bi-monthly. We're trying to fill that out. But I just really like how this whole process, I can just be so transparent with you all because you're really just seeing me all evolve as I'm growing. So I'm just so grateful for all of you to be on this journey with me. So that's all the good stuff that happened over the past 2 days, and tomorrow will be awesome. By the time you hear this, it will either be the weekend, it will be next week, all good stuff. So yeah, we have some really, really great shows. One being today, super inspiring. I can't even believe that this exists, and I didn't know about it sooner because it's just absolutely incredible. So today I'm interviewing the executive director of Helping Hands Monkey Helpers, Angela Lett. So Helping Hands Monkey Helpers are trained and placed to assist individuals with daily home activities. While the majority of their clients live with a spinal cord injury, there are other people with injuries or illnesses that can benefit from the unique skills of their service animals. So their service animals are monkeys. It is just amazing. If you have not heard of this company, like me, when I had first heard of this, I was like mind blown. So these service animals are monkeys that are trained. We're going to get more into it with Angela. She can really break down the logistics, but they help these people with, you know, physical impairments or illnesses and impaired mobility. It helps improve their quality of life, their mentality. These monkeys, I saw videos of like brushing their clients, their recipients' hair, and like doing such amazing stuff, like really, really incredible. I'm just so excited to have her on and really break down the whole experience of what even goes into it, the type of people they've helped to date. They are a national nonprofit organization. So if you have not heard of them, definitely, definitely check them out on all their social media channels. I'm so excited to have Angela on. So stay tuned for the amazing Angela Lett. All right, everybody. I officially have the amazing executive director of Helping Hands, Angela Lett. Hi, Angela. How are you today?
Great. I'm doing great, Jackie. How are you?
Good. So excited to have you. You are doing such amazing stuff. And I did a whole introduction, you know, before you even come on, of the whole process. I mean, obviously not the process. You're going to break down the logistics for us. But tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this amazing organization.
So I actually was recruited by a recruiter to be the director of development, which is the person at a nonprofit who does all the fundraising, because obviously we're not really selling a product. Mm-hmm. We're selling an idea, right, of changing people's lives. And so that's how I first found out, although it was interesting because I had been at a conference and had learned about the organization at that conference just a couple of months before. So when I was contacted, I said, oh, I actually know about that organization. So I was really intrigued. And then I came on board. And about 2 years ago, I became the interim executive director. And then this past November, the board approved me as the permanent executive director. So I've been with the organization about 3 years now.
Congratulations. You moved up quick. Love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just circumstance more than anything. But
hey,
yeah,
whatever. But hard
to,
work.
Happy to be here.
Right. Hard work pays off too, you know? That's awesome.
It does. Yeah.
So, good. And you guys also recently had a huge anniversary party, which is so exciting.
We did, yes. Right. This is our 40th anniversary year.
Amazing.
And on May 11th, we had our annual fundraising gala called Festival. And that was kind of our official party for our 40 years. But we are celebrating throughout the year. So one of the exciting things that we're doing, so if people missed the fun party, they can certainly follow all of our social media channels because we are profiling 40 monkeys throughout the year in honor of our 40th anniversary. So it's a great way to learn about our monkeys and also the work that they do and who they work with. So it's a fun way to just keep involved throughout the year.
So freaking cool. All right. So because we didn't really break down the logistics of the nonprofit organization itself, because we have a lot of listeners that might not know about it, can you tell us about
Sure.
what Helping Hands Monkey Helpers is?
So Helping Hands Monkey Helpers is a nonprofit organization that we train and place capuchin monkeys as service animals to people living with mobility impairments, primarily due to spinal cord injury or diseases like muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis. And we also have a number of veterans who have benefited from our program. And we place our service monkeys throughout the United States. And most of our placements last on average 7 to 10 years, although right now, more than 75% of our recipients have had their service monkey 10 years or longer. So we really do a great job of making sure it's a solid placement. And if the placement ends for any reason, sometimes people actually start relationships and move out and need to return the monkey back to us or get a full-time job and return the monkey. Other times, unfortunately, the health of the recipient will deteriorate, so the monkey needs to come back to us. But then the monkey might be placed again, or we decide, okay, the monkey's a little older and their health is starting to decline, so they're retired, which really literally to us means they're just retired. It's not a euphemism.
I was laughing so hard when I first heard that term. Yeah. It was so funny.
Yeah. And so they actually, I mean, they live, you know, just my parents just retired recently. So just like my parents, the monkeys are living the good life.
I love
you know,
it.
They got lots of playtime and treats. So, yeah.
So how do you guys actually find the monkeys? Like what even goes into that process?
So when our program started in 1979, the original monkeys had actually were donated to us, and because we started with just, you know, one or two monkeys to see if it would even work. And then when our founders discovered that, yes, this works, we can make this happen, we had a breeding colony that eventually ended up at Southwick's Zoo in Mendon, Massachusetts. And so all of the monkeys in our program were either donated or came from that breeding colony. So we know the histories of all of the monkeys. And right now we have enough monkeys in the program, so we're not actively breeding. But that, you know, so what I always like to tell people is none of our monkeys in the program were taken from the wild. You know, they all came from a colony where we knew, where we know the histories of the monkeys, and then came into our program. So it's not like they knew something else and then came to the program, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. It's literally going to a breeder if you're getting a dog or like that type of setting, essentially, or?
Well, yeah, kind of, except that this was specifically like our colony. So actually, when we had the partnership with Southwick Zoo, you know, they had our monkeys, and so some of the monkeys lived at the zoo, and then others would come into our program. So we were kind of the breeders and, you know, the people getting the monkeys.
Okay. That makes much more sense. Much more sense. Now, when you said you have a lot of monkeys in your program, how many monkeys are on average in the program?
Well, currently, right now, we have 120 monkeys.
Wow.
So some of those are, so some of those are placed with recipients.
Uh-huh.
Some are with foster families. Others are here at what we affectionately call the Monkey College, which is our facility here in Boston, Massachusetts. It makes sense, right? Boston is a college town, and we're training the monkeys. Monkey College. And, they rotate through, so as monkeys are placed, you know, some of our 120 monkeys are out in the world helping people, and then they might come back to the Monkey College. So it's kind of an ever-changing number. But that's enough right now to satisfy the inquiries.
Right. But I love how you really do call it a college because you're training them. Can we talk a little bit about the training process? Like, so you have somebody that you bring into the college. What happens from there?
So when monkeys are old enough to come to the Monkey College, so they are primates just like humans, right? So they have to go through have to reach a point where they're old enough, mature enough to come in and be trained. So once that happens, they come to the Monkey College and we have a staff of trainers, and our training program was worked out in the early years. And one of the things I always like to make sure that people know is that we use only positive reinforcement training. So they'll come to the college and our trainers start working with them. And it begins with monkey see, monkey do. So a trainer will sit in a very small and distraction-free room, only reward the monkeys for doing what they're asking them to do. There's no negative reinforcement. So a trainer will say, ask a monkey to pick up an object from the floor, and when the monkey does that successfully, our trainers will ding a bell, say good job, or some other type of praise, and then give the monkey a lick of peanut butter or hummus for those monkeys who don't like peanut butter. And then the tasks will get more complicated as the monkey goes through the training program. So one of our most complicated tasks is that a monkey can scratch an itch on somebody's face using a soft cloth, which, as you can imagine, if you're in a wheelchair and you cannot move your hands and you have an itch on your face, that would just be horrible.
Good point.
We've all experienced that, right? Where you're somewhere and you're like, I can't itch my nose. So that's one of the more complicated tasks. And so we have some monkeys that can learn super complicated tasks and some monkeys that don't. They're just like humans in that way. They're motivated in different ways. Some monkeys are, let's say, smarter than others.
Right. Like humans, like humans, like dogs,
like
everything.
Like humans. Exactly. Some of them have wonderful personalities.
we
take that into account, and there are often we have some people who are paraplegics who don't need a monkey that has those high-level skills. So it's not that we say, okay, this monkey just can't do it, and therefore they're out of the program. We just say, okay, well, what can they do? And then what type of recipient would benefit from them?
Right. Now, I know there's like a whole application process, too, for a person to apply to get in. What does that even look like from an outside?
Right. So our application process is very thorough because bringing a monkey into your home is different than bringing a cat or a dog. And it starts off with visiting our website, which is monkeyhelpers.org. And there people can find our initial application. And there are some things that automatically disqualify somebody from a monkey. First of all, you do have to fit the profile of a recipient. So you need to have a mobility impairment. We're not in the habit of just giving monkeys away. unfortunately, there are certain states where we can't place our monkeys. So if that's the case, so we try to be very clear with all of that information up front. But if people kind of fit the initial profile, then we have our social worker will reach out to them and send them a more thorough application, and they need to get a letter from their doctor and a couple of references, and then our social worker really begins a conversation with them because we need to learn as much as we can about the applicant's personal life and their home environment, because we say that placing our monkeys is really like a matchmaking service, because as I've said in some of my earlier answers, all of our monkeys are unique and different. And right. so if we have a monkey that we know identifies better with women, then we want to make sure, okay, who's in the house? Is this a wife whose primary caregiver is her husband, who's a really big guy? Is that going to be, then what type of monkey do we need in that situation? Is this a quiet home environment? Is it a louder, more rambunctious home environment with lots of people there? We want it to be a successful placement. So it can take a while. And then we also include a home visit before we place a monkey. Again, just to go over the physical environment, to have further discussions with everybody who would be involved with the monkey, and to make sure that we're giving people ample time to ask us questions and that they're getting a thorough explanation for any questions that they have.
Right. Now, you know, coming into the company not too long ago, what was your first experience like working with a monkey, like from an outside? Because obviously you're not immobile or anything, but I was just curious what it was like for you to experience that.
Yeah. So I have to say, I don't actually train any of our monkeys. We do have our trainers for that, and they spend the most time with the monkeys. Mm-hmm. That being said, sometimes our monkeys need a little extra exercise, and so the trainers will walk them around our office floor, and they will come and visit. So I've definitely had monkeys hop up on my desk and become really interested with like a pen or pencil or some other object, and they'll even start drawing on things. A few of the monkeys will jump up on my lap for a little cuddle, which is always really special because it's not every job where you can have a monkey, you know, cuddling on your lap.
Right.
But I will say that part of the reason that our program works is that our monkeys are capuchin monkeys are hierarchical. So what we do is use that to the program's advantage when we place them with recipients. So they see their recipient as their alpha who's going to protect them and take care of them. Mm-hmm. So our monkeys see their trainers here as their alpha. So not every monkey thinks I'm the greatest thing alive because I'm somewhere on their hierarchy, and every monkey has a different hierarchy. But for the most part, you know, I've also been able to tickle monkeys. There's one monkey we have here who will run right up and put his arms up because he wants you to tickle him. So that's always a great treat.
That's adorable. Yeah, but I love it.
Yeah. So they're all very unique. And I have to say that our trainers probably have one of the hardest jobs and also one of the best jobs because they get to spend their days with the monkeys.
Right.
So and it's then a special treat when I get to.
Also when, I could totally understand that. When they get placed, I remember too when I was watching the video with Travis and Siggy, they do check-ins with their recipients, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So the first year after we make a placement, we call that a new placement. So there is a huge amount of support. First of all, no matter how long a monkey has been placed, we offer 24/7 support. But in the first 3 months, our training staff talks with the recipient and their family members every single day to make sure that they have the support that they need, that they understand the needs of the monkey, that they're continuing to work on the training in a way that is successful. Mm-hmm. And then as the placement goes along, then that support will taper off. So maybe they'll check in once every couple days, and then, you know, twice a week, then it's down to once a week. So it just depends on how that placement progresses, any questions that the recipient has, and how the trainer sees that the relationship is developing. But it's really exciting for us to follow along on a new placement and, you know, when we hear different milestones that are happening, and when the recipients and their families are, you know, will say, oh my gosh, for the first time, you know, my monkey came out of the cage and climbed right up on my shoulder before I even gave it a treat, and it was so exciting. And you know, or today I dropped this and they picked it up off the floor and it was so great, you know. So it's really exciting to see how that progresses and develops over
time. And what a rewarding process too, right? To be a part of that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that we always, of course, everybody loves the cute monkeys, but the reality is that we exist because it makes a difference in the lives of the people that we help. And it makes a difference every single day. You know, whenever we have somebody who applies for a monkey, I've heard this from so many of our recipients. They say, you know, I was really focused on the tasks that this monkey would help me with. And I had no idea, but the most valuable thing that I have received from having a Helping Hands monkey helper is now I have someone who looks to me every day to care for them. So for a lot of our recipients, especially those who maybe had a spinal cord injury, a sudden accident that caused a spinal cord injury, and went from, you know, living their lives as they knew it to all of a sudden, you know, being in a wheelchair, relying on a lot of other people for help, a lot of times our monkey helpers are now, they have someone to care for. They have a reason to get up every single day to care for this monkey. It brings them joy and it brings them a sense of autonomy that, you know, they lost from what they previously knew. And it's really just, it's astounding. Maybe astounding isn't the right word, but it's just, it's, you know, I just hear that over and over from all of our recipients that that's not what they were expecting from getting a Helping Hands service monkey, but that is by far the biggest benefit that they receive.
Yeah, well, that's like so amazing. What is one of the most rewarding stories that you've heard that a monkey's done for a recipient?
I think actually Travis and Siggy have a fantastic story, which is about a year into their relationship, so the support had tapered off a bit. Travis was home by himself, and his wheelchair got stuck in a reclining position, and he needed to get out of it. And so, because what can happen if you're in one position too long, you can get sores that can become problematic. And so his phone fell on the floor, and, you know, the battery went one way and the phone went another way. So then he just couldn't contact anybody. Nobody else was at home. And his monkey, Siggy, was able to go down, retrieve the phone and the battery, put the battery back in the phone so that Travis could then call somebody to come and help him. And it was just, when I heard that story, we were all just in awe because we don't necessarily train our monkeys to do that specific task.
Wow.
But because he had been placed before, she'd been there a year, she was comfortable around Travis. You know, she knew, like, okay, this is a phone, you want me to pick that up. This is a battery, you want me to pick that up. Okay, let's kind of play around and get this in there. So it's just a really, you know, those types of things make a huge difference for our recipients. And that to me is the best stories.
They're so smart. It's amazing. It's just incredible how smart they are. And it seems like they're fast learners, right?
They are incredibly quick learners. That's part of the reason that Capuchins were chosen as the monkeys that we use in our program. They are natural tool users in the wild. They learn very quickly. We say that they have they basically have the intelligence of a three-year-old. So they're very inquisitive. They're always learning. They also have the rambunctiousness and attention span of a three-year-old.
Right.
but they, So for all of those reasons, they also have a really high strength to weight ratio. So capuchin monkeys are only 6 to 8 pounds. If anybody remembers the TV show Friends, the monkey that was on that show, Marcel, is a capuchin monkey. So they can very easily sit on a recipient's shoulder. They don't weigh a lot, but they can also open doors and drawers and pick up some heavier objects. So they're really ideal for the program.
I love it. And I'm so fascinated too. When I emailed you guys over questions, I love the names of the monkeys. Like, how do you guys even come up with the names of the monkeys?
So most of the monkeys have been named by people, either their foster families that raised them or maybe somebody that had a connection with the organization. So all of the names were given and meant something to the people that had the monkeys. So, at this point I couldn't tell you exactly, you know, why which monkey has their specific name.
Totally. I'm just fascinated. That's all.
It definitely gives us a wide variety of names. And of course they're all, I agree, they're all great. One of our monkeys is named O'Leary, and I love that name.
Yeah. That is so different and so fun. I love it. Yeah. And what does it even take to become like a foster? If somebody wanted to foster the monkeys, who are those people usually?
So one of the biggest things that our fosters need to be able to do is actually to be home quite a bit, because we don't want to place a monkey with a family. And if everybody's out of the house at work or school all day long, you know, we don't want our monkeys to be in a cage for, you know, 12, 16 hours a day because nobody's there. Mm-hmm. So that is probably the most important thing is somebody who already is at home quite a bit, who can spend time with the monkey. They're social animals. They want to be with people. So that's primarily it. We also have a foster application process through our website. So again, it depends on where they live and the environment, but I would encourage anybody who's interested to reach out, and then we would begin that conversation and see, you know, where it goes.
Yeah, no, this is like great to know. I have so much. I'm just so fascinated by this whole process. I think it's so awesome. And you guys are doing such amazing stuff. You guys are also a national nonprofit organization, right? Where did the company start originally?
Well, it started as a research project at MIT.
Wow.
So the original question was, if dogs can be trained to assist the blind, could we train a monkey to help somebody who can no longer use their hands? So that was the original question. And like I said, in the early years, it was just really one monkey that they were working with. They tried a variety of monkeys and decided that capuchins were the way to go, and then worked for a number of years with one monkey to see what could, you know, how could they train that monkey? What was working? What were the skills that people were looking for? And then once they said, yes, we can do this, then they started bringing more monkeys into the program and reaching out and looking for other people to place them with. And we became a registered 501c3 nonprofit in 1983.
Wow. So you guys, right, like 40 years. Amazing. Amazing how long this has gone. And you guys are just, it's so great. And I'm so honored to have you on. I want to talk about a typical day for Angela. So like, you get into the office, like break it down for us. What does your day usually entail?
Oh, well, my days vary. anybody who's the leader of an organization probably knows that. Sadly, nowadays, there's a lot of time spent with email. We have a staff of 12, and we do have monkeys in our building. So, sometimes I'm dealing with donors. Sometimes I'm dealing with board members. Sometimes I come in and there's a facilities issue, you know, here we are in Boston. So we have cold winters. And sometimes we come in and, you know, maybe the heat's not working as well as it should be. So that becomes my day. And sometimes, actually yesterday we just had a group, a family in for a tour. So that's always fun, bringing people in and showing them, having them meet some of the monkeys and showing them the work that we do and the work that they support. So that's always great. But yeah, I think if people don't already know, working for a nonprofit means a variety of skills, and there's kind of no straightforward day.
Right, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing.
No.
Yeah.
It's not, and there are some days, there's meetings at night, and, like we just had festival, which was a Saturday, which was a ton of fun, but, that's always a long day when you have that. A big event like that. So I would say that there's no typical day for me.
Right.
It just depends on what's happening.
No, definitely makes sense.
And it's great when we make a placement too. So sometimes I don't actually make any of the placements. Our trainers go. So we take the monkeys to the recipients, and two of our trainers go and they'll stay there for a week. So then that means, that our things change a little bit here at the Monkey College when two of our trainers are out on a placement. But that's always exciting because we look forward to the updates and, how's it going, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I would think that would be like a really fun part of the process, right?
It is. You know, I think it's also a little nerve-wracking too.
Totally,
because,
totally.
So once a placement is made, we send out two of our trainers with the monkey because it's often difficult, if not impossible, for our recipients to come to us. And then they spend a week at the recipient's home, setting up the monkey's housing, teaching the recipient and any caregivers in the family how to care for the monkey, how to feed the monkey, bathe the monkey, trim the monkey's or file the monkey's nails. So all that type of thing. And then they begin teaching the people in the house how to work with the monkey and how to respond to the monkey. So it's really a fun week, and it's also kind of a nerve-wracking week, right? Because our trainers are so thoughtful when we have a new applicant, and they put a lot of thought into what monkey is going to be best for that applicant and that environment. And so it's exciting. But it's also a little nerve-wracking because, when you have monkeys and people, you never know.
It's true.
Trainers try to make the best decision and they think it's going to work. But, sometimes they'll be out and they'll say, maybe this wasn't the best choice or whatever. But that's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just also, it has happened on occasion, not in recent memory. But I think that's just for our trainers, they want to make sure that it works from the first day. So
makes a lot of sense. Well, Angela, you are so amazing. Can you please tell everybody how they can follow you guys on social media? And then I want to play a quick little game time so people get to know you outside of your awesome career.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, if people would like to get a daily adorable monkey picture, they should definitely follow us on social media. We also talk about the importance of our work. But we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our Instagram is about a year old now, so obviously we're ripe for Instagram. It's Monkey Helpers on all of those channels. We are also I'm going to forget half the channels that we're on, and my marketing person's going to kill me.
That's okay. I think just honestly the main ones are great. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, totally fine.
Those are the big three. I think we're on a couple of other places, but those are the big three. And then I would actually also encourage people to check out our website because we have a ton of videos of our monkeys doing what they do and also of our monkeys interacting with recipients. So that's a great way to learn more about our program. And then, of course, if people would like, we're a nonprofit. So the only way that we can do what we do is by people supporting us through donations. And it costs $40,000 to train and place one monkey, and we do that completely free of charge for our recipients.
Wow.
So the people who receive our monkeys do not pay to have that monkey, and that's very important because people with spinal cord injuries or diseases like muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis, those are very high cost health issues. And so it would be pretty much impossible for any of our people to have a monkey otherwise. So I would say the most important people in our organization are the donors who make all of that possible.
That's amazing. I never even knew that part of it. I love it.
Yeah.
So awesome. All right, Angela, I want to play some game time. This is just a fun way for our audience to get to know you. There's no rush into how to answer the questions. It's just a really fun thing that we do. All right, so what is Angela's favorite food?
I gotta say probably ice cream. I just love ice cream.
Me too. Me too. What kind of ice cream?
You know, I like to try different flavors, but if I'm ever craving, I'm such a chocolate nut. So if it's not got some chocolate in it, I'm probably just not going to be satisfied.
That's good though. That was specific. Exactly what I was looking for. What is Angela's favorite destination of choice that you've been to and one that you want to go to that's on your bucket list?
Oh, okay. Well, one that's on my bucket list that I have yet to go to but would love to is Fiji.
Ooh, good one.
Yes, I've just always wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And probably my favorite destination that I've ever been to, I think it's kind of a tie. I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia, so Thailand was fantastic, but also China. But I think if I went back to China now, it would be completely different, because it was about 20 years ago, so it's a completely different country now.
Right.
There weren't as many cars as there are now, so it'd be really interesting, but it was really, really neat to go. So.
Very cool. You have a very diverse background of travel. I love it.
Well, I was a cruise director.
Oh, you were? Amazing. Yeah. I should have asked. Like, okay, so you were a cruise director. Where were you on a cruise? Where was that?
So the ship that I was on were in the North Pacific. So I did all of Southeast Asia up along Russia, across the Bering Sea to, and then the Aleutian Island chain in Alaska and down to Seattle.
So cool. Well, yeah. Diverse
and then
there.
I also did some time down in Mexico too. So yeah.
So cool. So obviously, yeah. How would you explain the different lifestyles between like Southeast Asia and here?
Oh gosh. well, I mean, again, because I was on a cruise ship, my
little different, right?
Probably different. Right. Yeah. But I would say I've actually been to Asia a few different times in my life for random reasons. And it's just such a culture shock between the U.S. and Asian cultures. If you haven't experienced it before, it's not bad or good. It's just very different.
Can you give us like one example of a scenario that you remember that's different?
Well, I would say for me personally, so I'm not a huge fan of fish, but when you travel, or at least where I was traveling in Asia, that was a mainstay of the diet. And so to be polite, I ate a lot of fish.
to be polite yourself.
Well, yeah. So yeah. It's, but like for breakfast, that was a little tricky for me.
Oh, that's tricky. That would be tricky for me too. Yeah.
Yeah, but the people, I would say anywhere, I mean, people in general are just so warm and welcoming. And so it was just,
that was a culture shock, I would think. Yeah.
What's that?
That was a culture shock to have to eat like fish for breakfast, if that was the common thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not in every, you know, but
no, but where you were. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
There's just a lot more, you know, and I don't even enjoy fish for dinner most of the time. So
that is like, tough for somebody. I like fish for dinner. I personally like fish for dinner, but for breakfast, I don't really know. That's definitely outside of my comfort.
And I don't know if you know, like the American breakfast is very different from most of the rest of the world. So
never knew that one.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we have a very like sweet based breakfast, and most people, here's a great reverse culture shock for you.
Okay.
So when I was on the cruise ship, there were really three of us who were Americans. Everybody else was from a different country. So yes. So there would be people eating fish for breakfast, and, you know, the go-to kind of backup meal for Americans is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right?
Right.
Everybody grows up eating PB&J. The rest of the world thinks that peanut butter is absolutely disgusting and does not know why we eat it.
What?
Exactly, right? Like that was, we were like, what? This is delicious. How could you not eat peanut butter?
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
That's a good culture shock, right? So the same way I felt about fish for breakfast, that was how people felt about me having like a PB&J snack in the middle of the afternoon. And I was like, what do you mean? How could you not like it? It's delicious.
That's hysterical. Oh my God. Thanks for sharing that. That was like a cool fact of the day. Love that.
Yeah.
What is Angela's favorite TV guilty pleasure?
That's kind of hard for me to say because I'm definitely a streaming kind of person. So I guess my guilty pleasure is that I will get into a show and then binge watch it quickly.
Totally. That's what is one recently that you're on?
You know, I'm watching The Leftovers on HBO. So that's the other thing. I'll watch like shows that came out years ago and then I'll
whatever. That's still like a guilty pleasure. Who cares? Is it any good? I don't think I've heard of it. What is it about?
Basically about people that just disappear from the earth. So,
wow.
And then it focuses on the people that were left behind. And the idea is that, you know, some people think it was the rapture. Some people think there has to be an explanation for it, but you know, people just poof, disappear.
Right.
So it's kind of the repercussions of that.
So. Right. So interesting. Yeah.
It's a little out there, you know.
Little, but different. Very different. What is something you have to do in your daily routine?
Can you just clarify what you're asking? I mean, yeah. Is that like me personally or something like I cannot get through the day if I don't do
that? That, something you cannot get through the day without doing.
You know, I would like to be good and say exercise, which is true at the moment, but then I'll go through periods where I fall off the wagon.
I think we all do that. So the fact that you're doing that every day, I give you a lot of credit. Good for you.
I would say I definitely know that it helps me out when I do that every day. And then I go through bouts where I don't, and I just say, why are you doing this to yourself?
Right.
But other than that, I don't know. You know, I'm not a coffee drinker.
I know the pressure's on. This is just something like totally, I've just heard a lot. Like, of course, you know, the standard, like brush your teeth, take a shower. Like that's pretty standard,
sure.
But I'm just like, I was curious.
I wasn't contemplating those.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, good. Cause I'm like, give me something juicy. Give me something different.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have, cats as pets. So probably just, you know, making sure that
they're all settled before you leave for the day.
Yeah, or snuggling with them at some point during the day, you know? I mean, why have pets if you're not going to spend time with
good
them?
Point. Good point.
Yeah.
I respect that. That was a good one. And final question, if you got paid $1 million tomorrow, what would be the first thing you would do with it?
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Let's see. Well, if it was paid to me, I would definitely donate some of it to Helping Hands.
Totally.
I don't think you can work for a nonprofit and, you know, I do already donate to Helping Hands. So I would definitely, we've got some exciting projects coming up. So that would be one thing I would do with it. But I, you know, I still have student loans, so I would definitely pay off.
Smart. Money. I was going to say, give me something that Angela would do for Angela directly. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I pay off the student loans, and then I would get a massage.
I love it. I love it. Well deserved. That will be well earned. Yeah, good point. Good point. You could do all the goals right there. Love it.
There you go.
Angela, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jackie. I really enjoyed talking with you. And if you have any follow-up questions, you know where to find me.
But for sure.
I really appreciate this opportunity to spread our work and share it with other people.
Yeah, everybody definitely needs to check out. It's helpinghands.org, right?
It's actually monkeyhelpers.org.
Okay, this is why I asked. Thank you. Monkeyhelpers.org. And then on all the social media channels, can you repeat again for us? Is it Monkey Helpers or is it Helping Hands?
It is Monkey Helpers.
Okay.
So people, there are so many organizations called Helping Hands. If anyone's thinking of starting a charity out there, don't name it Helping Hands. There are so many. No, it's Monkey Helpers on all of the social media channels.
Awesome. All right, everybody definitely needs
definitely
to check it out.
I definitely recommend Facebook and Instagram if you just want to see great photos.
Yeah, I'm excited. And seeing all the cute monkeys. Hello, 40th yep. year. We gotta check them all out. That'll be so fun.
That's right. I think we're about 20 in. I mean, well, probably not quite. We're not halfway through the year. But yeah, my communications staff is doing a fantastic job on those. So, and if you are just finding out about it now, you can go to the website and catch up.
Love it. Well, thank you so much again, Angela. Everybody definitely needs to check out monkeyhelpers.org and all their social media channels. And stay tuned for who's next on scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene with your host, Jackie Zuck. Showcasing tomorrow's scene today, for startups to celebrities, we are your source to find out what's next. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us today at nextonscene.com or get social with us at Next on Scene on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? We want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.